In Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" As we face a day and a time in our nation and around the world, it's important to remember Israel is still Israel. God still has them as the apple of his eye. He still has plans for them. Though they missed Messiah in large part, we were the benefit, the Gentile church of Jesus Christ. And all of the earth was blessed because Jesus came through Israel, our Savior. Now, there's a lot of different political ramifications going on. Yet what we know from your Bible is that God loves Israel, and God is going to bless anybody that stands with Israel. And we've seen this come and go, and we've seen the battle rage and the battles be won, and yet Israel stands with the same folks that want to destroy them and take them off of this earth as 4,000 years ago. That's a miracle of God. God's hand is on them. So as we see these things and as we wonder and as we hear of the turmoil, I pray that you will look into your Bible more, that you will seek the Lord more, that you will know how to appropriately pray with the church of God, both for Israel and for the church worldwide, that, by the way, is growing everywhere. A lot of Christians to be praying for in Iran, a lot. Psalm 66, we're told in the Bible just a handful of times, yet in a very, very powerful, powerful way, to love the Lord God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, Moses is given a command from the Lord to give to the people before entering the promised land, just right where we're at in Exodus. And he says in verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." It's repeated again by Jesus as the greatest commandment, the foundation of all the law and the prophets. In Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus was asked by a lawyer, "What is the great commandment?" And Jesus said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything God gave to Moses that we're reading about in Exodus, everything that he gave him in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy was based on this one principle: love the Lord God and love your fellow man. And yet it's only specifically commanded and recorded just a few times in your Bible. What is commanded and requested in your Bible a whole lot more is the how. How to love the Lord God. And singing, what we just did, is very important. Praise is very important to the heart of God. Singing is mentioned some 400 times. Specific command to praise, 50 times. Other commands of worship, adoration, thanks, extolling, lifting up, more than 1,000 times to praise the Lord. Psalm 47:1, praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. It is good to be in the house of the Lord and to praise. Psalms has more chapters than any other book in your Bible and more verses. It's only surpassed by Genesis and Jeremiah by actual word count and just a little bit. And it's right smack dab in the center of your Bible. One of the largest books with the most chapters, the most verses. And it's about praise. It's about declaring the works of God. It's about putting God on the throne. It's about understanding who he is to me and to the church. And when Psalm was written, who he was to Israel. It depicts the heart of God toward Israel and God's heart toward his people and to his church. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness, for your love. Lord, I pray that as we read through Psalm 66, Lord, it would spur us on to be much more free in our expression of worship to you. Lord, that we would be intense about our love toward you because you were intense when you went to the cross. Lord, be glorified in the teaching of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God wants us to freely, intensely, and regularly be people of worship and always have a song in our hearts for him. Psalm 66, to the chief musician, a song, a psalm. This psalm may have been written by David. It doesn't specifically say. There were seven different authors quoted as writing the psalms. David wrote 73 of them. And we know that he sent it to the chief musician or the main pastor over the worship in the kingdom of Israel. Most likely it was written during the time of the kings, probably about 350 to 400 years after God had delivered Israel out of Egypt through the desert into the promised land. They had a lot to be thankful for. The Psalms indeed records God's heart toward his people. Have you ever recorded your heart for your Savior? Have you ever penned it? Maybe used your devotional time just to write a love letter to God. If you haven't, it would speak to your own heart. God, what would I write to you? What would I say and what would I write that maybe I might tuck that away in my Bible and those that come after me would know this was my heart toward God, a love letter. Verse 1, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. In other words, a call to worship by the psalmist. Make a joyful shout. In Luke 19 and 37, Luke is describing the triumphal entry. Now, this account is in Matthew 21 as well, Mark 11 and John 12 in their own words, but this is Luke's version of it. It says in Luke 19, 37, then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. And so Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, triumphal entry, 1 week before he's crucified. And they're praising him. And they praised God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, who didn't get it apparently, called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. You see, because they were praising him as God. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. You know the joke. If that happened, it'd been the first Christian rock concert. That one's old. I mean, that one's so old. Shout. Crying out. The psalmist says, get there before the rocks. Shout a joyful noise. If God has saved you this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, you're going to get three more chances at this. If God has forgiven you this morning, say praise the Lord. If God has settled your heart when you were in trouble, say thank you, Jesus. If He made a way when there was not a way, say, Lord, you're good. Not bad. Not bad. For our demographic, not bad. Not bad. Around the world, worship and the way they worship, you think we're loud? We're nothing. We're nothing. Now, there's an appropriate way. There's a way to do it that's from your heart where you just can't hold back. But I will submit to you, our culture, we just, in this church, we hold back a little bit. And I get it. I get it, but then I don't get it sometimes. And what really matters is your heart. Let me say something. You know, this 9 o'clock service, it's pretty full, okay? Last week at the 9 o'clock service, there was probably about 20% fewer of you here. And I'm gonna guess a certain percentage of you were in front of your TVs watching a certain game on the Olympics. And if you love America and you love the Olympics and you love, especially if you love hockey, when they scored that goal, you were not quiet. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. If you saw me in my basement on Sunday after church during the Bronco game, you would not think I'm saved. I mean, I lose my mind. And when they win, for joy, for joy. Should the passion be any different for the Lord? I would suggest to you that it absolutely should be. Absolutely should be. But we've trained ourselves to be just a little more tight at a time when we really don't have to be, nor should we be. Especially if we're realizing what is happening before we enter Bible study. So important. So important. Look at verse 2. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Glorious. To stand in the congregation, joining our voices, our hearts together, to honor the name of the Lord with the drums, with the guitar playing, the skillful playing, the gifted voices, making a glorious song for the Lord. It's an important way that we love Him, not a time to get your coffee before the teaching starts. Ouch. I can be guilty. I can be guilty of almost thinking it's secondary. Well, I got in for the teaching. You missed the most important part, I would declare to you. I have missed the most important part. To stand together as people who are saved, who understand what God is doing in this world, to understand what He's going to do, to understand what He's done in each of your hearts, to understand the forgiveness times 1,400 and declare it together. It's powerful. It's powerful. And yet sometimes it's secondary. And I understand there's loudness issues with some people. There's style with some people. I've overcome some of that in my Christian walk. And you can. And you can. And if this is your church, then be here, praising, lifting your voice high, unashamed, for Jesus Christ, especially in light of what's going on in our world today. So important. Say to God, verse 3, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praise to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Selah is a rest. Perhaps a musical interlude would take place if the chief musician got this and it was a rest in the words to think about, to consider what we just said. A rest. Think about it. How awesome are your works, the works of God. God took this, his enslaved people of promise, the Hebrews, sons and daughters of Abraham, delivered them, gave them a rich land, defeated their enemies, made them rich and powerful, showed them grace upon grace upon grace, and even in their rebellion and their stiff-neckedness, he took on human flesh, came to their land, and died on the cross for their sins. In Philippians, Paul says this, Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Think about that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Put on the mind of Christ, Paul just said, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, his work. Taking the form of a bondservant, God's work. Coming in the likeness of men, his work. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, the work of the cross. Even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let this mind be in us. Let this mind be in us. Our worship of Jesus should always include the work of the cross. The testimony of our walk with God begins with Jesus and the work of the cross. Our mouths should speak of it often. Our hearts should feel it often. It is how we love him. Back. Let's face it. We cannot save ourselves. We didn't. We had no part in the cross. That was the work of God, the work of Jesus, our Savior. And yet, we have some work to worship and praise. What a glorious work. What a glorious thing that we can do. Verse 5, come and see the works of God. The psalmist says, he is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice him. Now, the psalmist is talking about a second time God did this. The first time, you'll remember from Exodus, is when God took his people and they were enslaved in Egypt and he got them out of Egypt miraculously and the Red Sea was parted, stopped up on either side and they walked through on dry land. And here again, 40 years later, as they wandered in that wilderness, they weren't obedient to go and take the land. God once again was faithful and through Joshua, led them into the promised land across the Jordan River. Stopped it up. They walked through on dry land. When we are not faithful, God is faithful. When his people Israel were not faithful, he was faithful. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. Now, some of you have a wonderful, crazy testimony where God saved you out of some really crazy stuff. And some of us are going through some really crazy stuff. And we're searching for God, and we're wondering if God's going to be there, and we're wondering if we're going to get through. Be patient. Wait on him. Trust on him. He is faithful in his time. And whatever it is that he's doing through this time that's maybe grueling, that's maybe hard, that's maybe your faith is up and down, go back to faith. Faith in a God, because he is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. Lamentation says this: through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Israel was not consumed. We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Promise of Scripture. Hang in there. Verse 7. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah, rest. Think about it. Think about God, his eyes on the nations. Did the psalmist just get a little political? I don't think so. Think about this. Think if the reverse were true. I'll read this again. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Think if the reverse were true. If God doesn't rule in his power forever, if his eyes don't observe the nations so that the rebellious people exalt themselves, then I would declare to you, we're all in trouble. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But the king is still on the throne. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. We don't recognize your beliefs, in other words. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. In other words, it is an offense or an insult to God. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them with his deep displeasure. Yet, the psalmist said, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Christ is king over all the earth. God sees. God's working. A nation that does not honor God will not be blessed by God. And a nation that honors God, he will protect, he will cover, just like he does our individual lives. If we honor him, if we have faith in him, if we trust him, if we live our lives in accordance with how God has asked us, in accordance with what God has done for us, he gave his life for us, we should give our lives for him. Verse 8, oh, bless our God, you peoples. And make the voice of his praise to be heard. Who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved? Making the voice of his praise be heard. I hope that it's at the heart. Sometimes it's at the heart of even my own self, as I walk my Christian walk out. Lord, how can I make you known? How can I make people see? How can I help them to hear, you know? Sometimes I'll share maybe a song, you know, and my Christian music goes clear back to the 80s, and I love some of those Christian songs. But, you know, our worship team, the talent and the ability to create their own songs, RMC Worship is on every platform that you want. You know, you can share the whole playlist on Facebook or whatever platform you use. Share an individual song. You can do it. It's easy. The technology's there. Bless somebody's day with a song that touched your heart. That's actively throughout the middle of your week, maybe driving in your car, listen, oh man, that song just blessed me. I'm going to send it to my best friend who needs to get saved back east or wherever. The other thing is just be a worshiper yourself. Just be a worshiper yourself and be here. Think about this. If you can be at church consistently 10 to 15 minutes late, you can be at work consistently or at church consistently 10 to 15 minutes early. If you've never experienced that, and some don't, I used to be one of those. Come late, get out during the last song, you know, because you fight the crowd and you get to your car first and you get to lunch, you know, that's where my mind was at. I get it. I understand it. If you come early and stay a little late, I guarantee you, you will get blessed. You will get blessed. And big church will get small. Big church will get small. And you'll be in with the congregation to make the voice of his praise to be heard. Verse 10. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire, through the water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. God was faithful to this stiff-necked people that were in rebellion to him. They did have consequences, but at the end of those consequences, God was there waiting to see the change, to see when they understood that God is faithful even when I am not, their reaction to him. Give your consequences to God. When we confess our sin or shortcomings to him, especially when he's letting life ride over our head, sometimes because of our own decisions, he will always redeem. He will always use those circumstances to make us better and bring us through. Verse 13, And I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered. And my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer you bulls with the goats. Selah. Think about it. Rest. When God set up the sacrificial system, that at the shedding of blood, Israel's sins would be looked over. It was for one reason, to point to the cross, to point to our Savior who shed his blood for our sin. And the psalmist declares, and isn't it so easy when we're in trouble to make some vows to the Lord. Oh Lord, if you'll get me out of this one. Lord, if you'll save me from my creditors, Lord, I'll be better. I'll help out more. God, I'll even help out in children's ministry. When we're in trouble. Psalmist just declared that. This thing that we're all kind of plagued with sometimes goes clear back to the psalmist. But the psalmist decided, when I'm in trouble this time, Lord, and he wrote it down, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to give back to you. Some of us, maybe the only thing missing in our Christian walk is figuring out and spending a little time and saying, Lord, I want to be used. I want to be used. I don't want to be afraid to be used. I don't want to think that you're going to make me go to Africa and charge me $3,000. I just want to be open to whatever it is that you want to do with me. Inside the four walls of the church, outside the four walls of the church, in your neighborhood, with your family. To declare how good God has been to you. He wants a heart ready to give back when that heart receives forgiveness, healing, tender mercies from the Lord. We've been forgiven much. We should forgive much. What are we giving back? Verse 16, come and hear, all you who fear God. I will declare what he has done for my soul. The psalmist says, I'm going to declare something now. I cried to him, verse 17, with my mouth and was extolled with my tongue. And he was extolled with my tongue. He's saying, when I cried out to God, I praised him with my mouth. He heard me and I praised him. Verse 18, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. He's just a simple biblical truth. Confession, repentance. It's part of our Christian walk all the time. Lord, forgive me. I was a lot less right then in that moment than you would have me to do. I sinned. I sinned in front of my family. I sinned in front of my coworkers. I sinned driving to work this morning, you know. Lord, forgive me. Always being refined, being set apart for his work. Psalmist declared, I can't hide sin in my heart. This is verse 19, but certainly God has heard me. The psalmist says, I have a clean conscience before the Lord. I've confessed my sin. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Verse 20, blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. The message this morning that hit me and why I landed on Psalm 66, I believe, is that it is a key missing component in the war that we as Christians fight. And in that war, the worship leaders should be out front. When Israel worshiped God, when Israel gave back to God in worship and obedience and acknowledged him, he won their battles. You have a battle that needs to be won. It starts with worship. It starts with your heart. If we love God, we should sing it, tell it, speak of it. If Jesus has forgiven us much, then we should make much of him. Lord, give us a song to sing for the world to hear, a song in our hearts for you, a praise for each day of our lives. God wants us to freely, intensely be regular people of worship and always have a song in our heart for him. Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you. And we acknowledge your work this morning on the cross. We acknowledge, God, your sovereign work in this world, in our country. And Lord, we lift up our country to you. God, would you do a work? God, would you help us to be people that play just even a small part in sharing who you are and in sharing hope and in sharing love? Lord, and help us to more regularly give back to you. Forgive us that we have forgotten that. We worship you and we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.